conflict in the bulletin between who I am this morning. My name is Mark Beck. Dan was going to be here, but his wife is expecting, and they had some false labor this week, and they had to go to the hospital a couple times, so he's like, can you just take over that for me, please, so that I don't have to be in that. So anyway, my name is Mark Beck. I'm with Teens for Christ. Joined last year and have been really glad to be a part of this awesome ministry and this week. And I'm here to share with you this morning, God is good. And more than that, because it's really easy to do for it to become a mantra, right? For God is good all the time, right? And all the time God is good. This is this thing that we have as kind of a, you know, automatic response. But when I really think about it, it is the foundation of theology. It's the foundation of our lives, and we don't really think about it, but when it comes down to it, there is one question that underlies all of the other questions, is that, is God good? Is he really good? Not just can I say it in my mind, but is it? Do I really believe it? Because from there, you can answer any question, you can go to any place, and you can figure out anything from there, but if you don't truly believe God is good, then you're going to be up a creek without a paddle. You're going to be stuck. So this morning I want to start, we're going to jump over a number of different places, but Isaiah 40. It's a familiar passage for most of us, but we know Isaiah 40 verse 31. It's on a lot of, we know this verse. It's on mugs and posters and, you know, but there's a couple of verses beforehand that I want to talk about that help us to understand why Isaiah 40, 31 is such an amazing verse. So this is starting in verse 27. He says this, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to those who are weak, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Throughout all of Scripture, and there's this question by God's people, is that, why do I experience hard, difficult things? And where is God in the midst of this? You notice throughout the week, there's only one day that it kind of, when life is good, God is good, right? But all the other days are dealing with when life is scary, when life is hard, when things aren't there, they're not going right. God is still good. And this is the question that they're asking, is saying, my experience doesn't match up with what I expected God to do, right? My experience and my life around me is hard and difficult. So where are you, God? Where are the things that you said you were going to do for me in my life? These promises that you said they were going to happen. And especially for a covenant people like Israel, God had made a promise to them about how you would act and do things for them. And so he's saying, do you even see? Do you even know what's going on? And the answer is pretty universal in this, is that don't you know who your God is? Do you even know who you're talking to or what it's about? He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Because there are two possibilities, right? Among many others, of why our circumstances are the way they are. And the first is that God can't do anything about it, right? Like, my circumstances are the way they are because God can't make them any different, because he's not strong enough or powerful enough or any of those things, right? And he goes right away to that. He says, God has created everything. He is capable of doing anything. It's not as if your problems are bigger than me or bigger than God. It's not as if I can't solve your problems by, you know, snapping my fingers, saying a word, making them go away. So it's not as if I'm too weak to change your circumstances or to deliver you from the things going on. And the other thing he says, understanding is unsearchable. So it's not as if God doesn't know. So God is both capable of taking you out of the things that you're going through, and he knows what's going on. And yet he leaves us there. That's hard. Because we want our problems solved. We want our things gone. We want God to be good, but we want our circumstances to reflect that as well. And so we're often stuck in this middle ground, right? Between when God has promised to do something, we know he can, but yet we're not seeing it in our lives. And then he goes in verse 31, there's this word that is really, I think it's really hard, one of the hardest words for us to live out. And it's wait. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Those who wait for the Lord. This year we're going to be working through the book of Hebrews for our Bible quizzing stuff. And in chapter 11, there's this, we all know it's the hall of faith, right? All these people who believed God, right? And these great heroes of faith. But it says, in two sections, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and having greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and aliens on the earth. All of these people, Abraham, Moses, Noah, all these people were believing in a God that didn't actually fulfill the promises, sometimes right away, sometimes ever, in their lives. That they were living in this middle ground where their circumstances were saying one thing about who their God was, and then their God who had told them what he would do for them. And that's the question that you need to answer this morning for yourselves. Am I going to trust my circumstances to tell me whether or not my God is good? Am I going to trust the things that are going on around me, either my stuff in my family or my job or my work or the people around me who literally say, God is, where's your God in all this? What's happening? What's going on? Or maybe it's the questions in our heart. All of those things are telling us something about who God is and what he's like. And we need to say, are those things the truth? Or is God good really all the time? I shared this past week, 2 weeks ago at camp from my favorite chapter in the Bible. We're just going to touch there briefly. It's in Lamentations chapter 3. And in this, the prophet Jeremiah is in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's being besieged by an army, and he's trying to process through this. And a lament is a song of grief, a poem of grief. And he's got all of these things that have happened that are wrong. In chapter 3, the first 19, 20 verses talk about all the hard things that are happening to him in his life, all the ways in which God has not only abandoned him, but done hard things to him. And he's crying out, and in verse 18 he says, so I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction, my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. He says, my life is so hard, so difficult. All my circumstances are against me. There's an army attacking us. Nobody's listening to God. Everything's turned away from me. All these things are happening. And then he says this in verse 21. This is Lamentations 3:21. He says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He says, I can remember one thing in the midst of all hell breaking loose around me, all these difficult things, all the trials, the suffering, the bitterness, the sorrow, all those things are undone by one thought in my heart that my God is good. And then And every morning I wake up, I can think, yet God is good. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He says, I think of one thing, and I know and I believe one thing. And that's the thing, right? It's not just that he knew it. It wasn't just that it was a thought in his mind. It's that to the very core of his being, he believed that his God was a good God who loved his people. And no matter what was around him telling him other things about his God, he said, I will truly believe that. And that is the source of hope in all of these troubles and all these different things, that my God is good. And for us today, I think we have an even, I don't know if easier time of it, but like, so he's living in the Old Testament before Christ came, right? He's living before the Messiah comes. And when we talk about how do we know that God is good, from Romans 8, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He says, if I gave you the greatest gift possible, the most costly, expensive thing to deal with your sins, to send my son to die for you, how will I not help you in everything else in your life? Is there anything else that I will withhold from you? I gave you the most costly, expensive thing for you, and that why will I not help you through everything else that you are going through? And that is the source of, I think, when we talk about, is God good? We think about that. We look back to what Jesus did on the cross, that he came. He died, right, for us. And he did that. If he's willing to do that for us, isn't he willing to do anything else? And what he calls us to do is two things. One is to trust him. To say to your circumstances, yes, this is hard, yes, this is scary, yes, this is, you know, all those other things. But I trust my God. I trust in him. And will you do that? Will you trust in him in the midst of those circumstances and those difficulties that are going on in your life? Will you trust in them, or will you say, I'm not sure? Because if you can do that, you can face anything. You can do anything. And the second thing he calls us to then is to wait for him. To wait knowing that he will come. Because there is, I love the it took me a really long time to understand this, but he says, those who put their trust in him will never be put to shame. And it wasn't until, I mean, thinking over it for a long, that statement was kind of weird for a while. What does that even mean? But that means that if you are waiting and you say, I believe that this is going to happen, and there's a long period of time sometimes when it doesn't come about, what's going to happen? But you're vindicated at the end, that you're putting your trust in Christ was worth it. So will you trust your circumstances? Will you trust the God who sent his son to die in your place for your sins? And then, are you willing to wait for him to come? And in the midst of those things, to live your life, to honor God, to love him, to serve him, and to do those things. And again, this is not a light question. This is not a trivial, it shouldn't just be an automatic response. Because once you've come to that point where you can truthfully say it from the heart, you can face anything. And you can trust in your God when life is scary, when life is hard, and all those other things that I can't remember from VBS week. But will you join with me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for this week. I thank you for all the kids who came and learned about the fact that you are good when all life circumstances is telling them different things, when life is hard and scary and things are happening, and where's God in the midst of this, and why is my family difficult, or why are these happening, things happening with my mom and my dad, or I pray that from a very young age that they will learn that you are good, that you love them, that the circumstances that they're going through don't change who you are, that they can trust you all throughout their lives, Lord. I pray that you would give that to us as well, not just the kids, Lord. That you would help us to understand that you are good and that you do love us. And life is hard. And pray that we would call to mind and therefore have hope. That the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.